Thanks, Pauline, for that amazing old hymn. That it's great to hear that again. So thank you for leading us in that. So I'm going to bring the word today, and it's something that God has been speaking with me to me since the end of May, and it followed from Nikki Summerhill's powerful and prophetic word from Ezekiel 37. Which talks about the picture of the valley of the dry bones. We're talking about valleys this morning, so it's quite links in really to that. And she was encouraged us to think about at this time, what is God awakening in us, the church and the nation? And I think it's a word we'll need to come back to, because it's a really prophetic word into the church that we need to run with. But one of the other challenges that Nikki gave us was to think about, what are the dry areas in our lives that God may want to change? And it was about the same time that I was reading through the book of Galatians. And in chapter 5, 22-23, it talks about the way the Spirit can work in our lives. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such of these things there is no law. And it was at this point that God pinpointed one of these to me. Now, it could have been any of them really, because I'm sure all of them I could do with a lot of work on, but the one that he spoke to me about was gentleness, or the lack of it in my life. This surprised me to begin with at first, but as I stopped and listened to his promptings, he began to teach me and encourage me and to change the way I responded to circumstances. You see, we are all a work in progress, because when we commit our lives to Jesus, we don't suddenly become this perfect person does everything right. And there may be different areas in your life that God wants to speak into. And if you're brave, you can ask him, because he will speak to you about them. But whatever the error is, the same principles that I'm about to share today will most probably apply. Lockdown has brought many changes to our external lives, some we've enjoyed and some we've really struggled with. I do know that God has been catching the attention of many of us and wanting to refine us to make him more like him, if we are willing to listen and respond. It is through our words and actions that we display the character of God to those around us. And as God changes us, we will change the world. God is stirring a heart of mission in the church to reach out to the lost and hurting at this time and bring hope to a desperate world. And that isn't going to go away. That's going to be there for many, many months as we work through the situation that we're currently in. So I want to share with you three areas of gentleness that God has been speaking to me about. Firstly, his gentleness. Secondly, being gentle with ourselves. And thirdly, being gentle to others. So firstly, the gentleness of God. God is powerful, but also gentle as well. As I've already referred to in Galatians 5, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is gentleness. It's what should be evident in our lives if the Holy Spirit is working through us and changing us. Gentleness is not a sign of weakness, but often a sign of strength and contentment, no striving, but being in a place of peace. In Matthew 11, 28-30, it says this, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we pick up from there that God is gentle and humble in heart. And as the songs we have been listening to and encouraging us this morning, we must look to him and learn from him. God is gentle with us, and he wants to lift the burdens that we often place on ourselves. Maybe there's something that's stealing your peace at this time that God can lift from you so that you can find a physical, emotional, and spiritual rest. Unburden your heart to him. Another example of God's gentleness to us is that he does not punish us as we deserve. Psalm 103, verses 8 to 12 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse us, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." You see, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross shows God's ultimate love and gentleness to us. And that amazing old hymn really testifies to that. We did not deserve the gift of eternal life, but God made a way that we could receive forgiveness and have a relationship with him. Our hearts should be full of gratitude for that. Also, God often speaks in a gentle manner, which means we need to stop and listen to be able to recognise his voice. And I love the point about that Rich said about waiting. And sometimes as we wait, we really incline our ear to God. And it's in the waiting that we stop and we listen. We need to recognise his voice. And maybe during our times with him and when we gather as a church, we need to stop and listen. See, God wants to speak to us. Elijah, one of the Old Testament prophets, found himself in this position. So he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And God spoke to him. That came from 1 Kings 19, 9 to 13. You see, Elijah recognized the presence of God in the gentle whisper. And we need to learn to recognize and hear his voice. It is often a gentle prompting in our hearts to do or not to do something. Ask God to open your spiritual ears and heart to hear his whisper and the things he wants to show you. This may mean taking some time out with God, stopping and listening. We listened to two great songs this morning. Worship is a great medium for connecting with the gentle spirit of God. God often wants to speak to us, but in our lives, sometimes we just have so much noise that we just block out God. But take notice, God wants to speak to us. It's also important that we, just as sheep, know the shepherd's voice, we learn to recognise God's, because at times we will go the wrong way, we will get it wrong. But God wants to gently lead us back to him. In Psalm 119:105, it says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." God wants to lead us back on the right path if we're listening to his gentle voice. You see, the more we ignore his promptings and voice in our lives, the less we will recognise it over time and miss out on God's best for us, but also for others. Our revelation of the character of God is really important if we are to understand the relationship that God wants to have with us and the abundant life he wants us to live. So moving on to the second point, being gentle with ourselves. And this is the area that God really started talking to me about the gentleness in my life. How was I treating and caring for myself? What was I considering as important? I've always had a tendency to push myself to the limits, but this sometimes has had negative consequences, particularly on my health and well-being. Now, don't get me wrong, sometimes we need to push through things, as we were talking about last Sunday. And I know this week has been an example with the trying weather we've all been facing. One of the things about working at home and in a bedroom is a potential opportunity to have a nap in the middle of the day when it gets a bit hot and you feel a bit sleepy. But that's really not on. And this week I just had to press through because the email set kept mounting up, even though it was really difficult working conditions. And I'm sure we all found that whatever we were doing. But sometimes we just need to stop and give ourselves permission to rest, relax, laugh and have fun. And it's that giving ourselves permission sometimes that we just need to do. I just had a week away and it was just great just to do very little, take off my watch, not be run by time, rest, relax, laugh, talk and talk to God as well. You see, we need to look to him when we're struggling and when we need to find peace and a way forward, and we need to stop to be able to do that. For example, the pressure at work can be overwhelming at times, I find. So at the end of the day, sometimes I've just found I just needed to go out for a walk, just to walk and walk and let the stress come out of my body and my arms and my shoulders relax and talk to God about the things that are facing me and the problems that I can't see a way through. And every time I usually come back and I know God is in control and he's given me the way forward. And I do thank God for these times because we have been blessed by such good weather to be able to go out and walk when we've needed to. I've not got wet many times, I must admit. The other pressure that I've obviously found when I'm working from home is that people can't see what you're doing. Whereas when you're in the office, they can see you're there and they're working. And there's almost a pressure to be able to respond to people immediately. And I was talking with a colleague about it this week, that pressure to when somebody sends you an email to respond to it right away. And that puts a lot of pressure on people. But you see, God isn't into performance or appearance. He looks at the heart and our motivation. And that's where our confidence needs to be in. As it says in Samuel 17:7, the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider this his appearance or height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at these things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And again, the beauty that God's behold is as follows. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewellery or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of a great worth in God's sight. 1 Peter 3:3-4. We please God when we take a gentle and quiet approach. Often at work, our online systems means that whoever shouts the loudest seems to be able to get heard the most, which isn't often what is conducive to good meetings. But I've learned that the best way is to wait my time and make my point when they finish, taking a gentle approach rather than trying to speak over them. Also, this is what God expects of us. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Colossians 3:12-14. It's through God's strength and grace we're able to accomplish this, not on our own. Another point is the words we declare over ourselves have an impact. This is another way we can be gentle with ourselves. Proverbs 12:18 says, The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongues of the wise brings healing. In Ezekiel, the prophet was told to speak life into the dry bones. Is that what we are doing to ourselves? I need to declare the truth of God over my life, and especially when I feel hard pressed. What is your declaration at the moment? Are you standing in faith and speaking the truth over your life? We need to build ourselves up in God. But if you're struggling at this time, reach out to somebody you trust. God has put us in the church together to build each other up, and we're there to support and lift each other up. So please reach out to each other if you need support. The third area, being gentle with others. Our gentleness is a great testimony of God and his love in our lives. What we say to others and how we say it has huge consequences. How many of us have held on to negative words spoken over our lives in the past by others? The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 18:21. Communication, every sphere, is such an important art, and it is so easy for text, emails, and other social media responses to be misunderstood. I witnessed an example at work just before lockdown, where someone under pressure spoke to another colleague in such an aggressive manner. This has had consequences for months, which we've been still trying to work out. God has been prompting me in how I write and speak to people to be gentle in my approach. It may not be how I feel I want to respond sometimes, but we never know what another person is facing right now or dealing with. It also means that when we make a mistake, which we're often, and I know I'm often likely to do, maybe others will respond to us as we have treated them. Remember, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:1. Every Friday during lockdown, I've written a message to the team I work with. There's about 22 of us. It often includes a thanks for all their hard work, encouragement to keep going, but also to be real about the challenges that we're all facing. You see, I care about them, and although at times they frustrate me as well, but I don't give them a hard time when things don't happen or mistakes are made. We just learn from it for the next time. I try to encourage them just to be able to stay on course during this, what is sometimes a challenging time that we've all had to adapt to and work in many different ways. And in many ways, although at times we've not seen each other physically, I think we've all grown closer together. Also, how we act is so important too. Our actions will speak louder than our words. In Philippians 4:4-7, it says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." As it says there, let your gentleness be evident to all. This can be seen through our encouragement, forgiveness, concern, and the things we do to show our love to others, just by going that extra mile for someone. I know when I was away on holiday, a group of us were just sitting together, and this lady was clearly lost on site. She was walking around and went through our site many times, and you could see she was looking at the map and couldn't find her way back to her caravan. So we popped over and just showed her where we were, and she said where she was on the site, and we said, right, you go this way and go that way. And it didn't take us any time, but for that lady, she was so thankful. And when I passed a caravan a few days later, she was just so full of joy and thankful that we just stepped out and just gone that extra mile to help somebody. And we all can do that. We can all do it with a gentleness of spirit, just speaking to somebody. And it's really important that we just step out. There are so many things I hate about face masks. I don't know if any of you have got used to them yet, but I certainly haven't. And one of the things that I do really hate is that however much you smile with a face mask on, nobody can see it. And that to me is a real tragedy, really, because I think it's really important, because a smile can really brighten up somebody's day. And it doesn't cost us anything. And I think that's one of the things with face masks. I think we'll need to get those ones where they've got a transparent sort of view of your mouth, so people can see you smile. So, but these are little things that we all can do to encourage people. The final just bit of this is our mission focus, really. And in 1 Peter 3:15 to 16, it says, "But in our hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone, everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." I can remember as a young or a new Christian being really zealous for God, but there was not a lot of gentleness as I shared the gospel with others. I just really went in with both feet. But God wants us to be gentle to those we share his love with, not compromising the truth, but showing compassion. When Jesus came into the world, he turned it upside down in the terms of the way he responded to people and situations and the way he led his life. He came as a gentle, humble servant to provide a way for us to have a relationship with God and to live purposeful lives. Gentleness of word and deed is one of the ways we can show his love to the hurting world. Amen.